Glory to God. Well, I'm excited about this today. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me if you have your Bibles. If not, we'll have it up on the screen. But turn with me if you would. And I do want to encourage, if you have your Bibles, flip the pages and don't be a lazy Christian and just depend on the screen. Right? Because I want to tell you, I want to apologize. And it's not our media guy's fault that the slides were so late this morning. We've been having some bad reception this morning. It's kind of slow. Our computers have been running a little bit slow for some reason. So I want to apologize for that. But so turn in your Bibles if you have them with you to Revelation chapter 2. And everybody's like, oh man, he's going to Revelation. This is going to be deep. I mean, no, Revelations is a good book, man. Everybody's like, oh, Revelations. I'm like, oh yeah, Revelations, baby. This is awesome. Come on, Revelations is a good book, man. I'm excited about Revelations. But I want to, as you begin reading through Revelations, even in the second and third chapters particularly is where I'm going to really focus this morning. But there's a statement that Jesus makes in seven different times in these two chapters. And I think he's trying to get, how many know, if somebody says something to you one time, that's one thing. When he says it two times, when he says it three times, it's like, man, he's truly trying to get a point. But what about when he says it seven times? How many know maybe we should give a little bit of attention to what he's saying if he's telling us seven times, right? Well, in these second and third chapter of Revelations is where he is writing these letters to the churches, the seven churches there. And he makes this crazy statement. So I just want to kind of, we're not going to take very long in this particular passage. I want you to see it with your own eyes. How many know you retain more by what you see than just if you hear somebody say it? So, but in Revelations chapter, I got to pull out my archaic Bible here. I haven't used a Bible this thick in I don't know how many years, but this is one of my favorites right here. It's got all my notes in it, and it's falling apart, but man, it's got some good stuff in it. So I'm going to bust this out with us today, and I want to leave it because this is my New King James. We usually teach out of the New Living and others, whatever, but I want to just look at this in the New King James. I love the way it says it here. But in Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, he says this. Now, this is Jesus speaking. How many know red letters means what? Jesus is talking, right? How many know you want to pay attention to what Jesus says, right? All right, so here it is in the church of Ephesus. He says, he's talking, and he says, verse 2, he says, I know your works. Everybody say, I know your works. He says, I know your works, your labor, and your patience. I want you to skip on down to verse 3. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my namesake. Say, labored for my namesake. So he's talking about, I know your works. He said, you've labored for me, right? And you have not become weary. Jump over to verse 8. It's talking about the church in Smyrna. And in verse 9, he says, I know your works. Now, I want to point something out as we go through this because when he says, I know your works, that it is not one of the last things that he talks about. If you look at this in these letters that he wrote to these churches, he says to the church of Ephesus, to the church of Smyrna, to the church of Pergamos, to the church of Thyatira, you know, all these different churches. He says this, he says, and then once he tells you what church is being written to, then he says, now to the one that is saying this to you, and he gives Jesus these names and stuff, but he's telling, he says that Jesus is saying this to you, and the very next thing he says, when he starts to tell you what was said in every single letter to every church, he says this, it starts with this, I know your works. So how many know when Jesus is looking at your works, it's not an afterthought. It's the very first thing in every single letter that he mentions. I know your works. I see your works. I've seen what you do, right? How many know the Bible tells us that when Jesus come back, he should come back finding us so doing, right? So there are works for us to do, and we're gonna kind of touch on a couple of things here, but I want you to see this. So in the church of Ephesus, he says, I know your works. The third church of Smyrna, over in verse 9, he says, I know your works. And then over in verse 13, he's talking to the church of Pergamos, he says, I know your works, right? And then over in verse 18, to the church of Thyatira, he says in verse 19, he says, I know your works. Are you seeing a common thread here? Yeah. Right? And then over in chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, and the angel to the church of Sardis, These things says he who has seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He says, I know your works, right? And then over in verse 8, he says, I know your works. Talking to the church of Philadelphia, he says, I know your works. And the last one, and to the church of Laodicea, he says in verse 15, I know your works. I know your works. So Jesus sees our works. How many know, can you see that there are our works, what we do is important to Jesus, right? How many know getting saved, giving your heart to Christ, committing your life to Christ, that's just, you're just now getting in the door. That's not the end of it. It's like, get them saved and that's it. No, if that was it, once you got saved, I think God would organize it where once you get saved, he just pulls you out of here. But no, what God does, check this out. Because what God does is he pulls us out of our life of darkness, translates us over into the kingdom of his dear son, disciples us, equips us, and then puts us right back into that darkness to be a light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. So it's not God's design to pull you out of the world and we're just going to keep you over here and you're just going to, all you're going to hear about is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No, we need to hear about Jesus. We need to get built up. But then it's time for us to step back into our jobs, back into our schools, back into our families, back into society and say, can I just tell you that Jesus loves you? Amen. That's what it's about. He pulls us out of darkness, gets us filled with light. How many know a light is most effective in a dark place? If I had a flashlight in here right now and lit it up, I mean, you might see it on the ceiling a little bit, but there's not much effect to it. You can see everything anyway. But a light is most effective in a dark place. Flashlights were created for dark places. And you were created to get the light of the world on the inside of you so that you could be a light in the dark place. How many know we're living in a world that is a dark place? And God's looking for lights. He's looking for us to be the light of the world. He says, I know your works. We're going to start a new series today. It's called Work, the Expression of Salvation. That is an exciting, resounding response to what I just said. I love that. You guys, I can tell you guys are super excited about me talking about work. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to have a good time on this series. Let me just give you an encouragement. We're going to go through some things. You know, maybe you have a mindset about some of them that I'm about to show you. You know, I just want to encourage you. Don't go, oh, yeah, that's me, that's me. You don't want to do that. What you want to do is just look straight ahead and go, amen, Pastor Ken. You go, PK. You, man, you're rocking it, right? Don't want to expose yourself too much this morning, right? But let's look at this, right? So when we talk about work, so this series is about work and works, right? It's about work. It's the work that we do. And it's also about our works. And I'm going to give you a working definition so you understand what I'm talking about as we go through this series. But when we talk about work and works, we're talking about what we spend our time, energy, and effort doing. What we spend our time, energy, and effort doing, right? And so the word work, when we talk about, we use the word work, that often is a thought. We think of our job, right? Our employment, our careers. So it's like, you know, you meet somebody and guys are typically say, so what do you do for work, right? So we're not asking you, did you help a little old lady across the street? That's more like works. We didn't ask you what you did around your church. The general idea is, where do you work? What do you do for a job? What is your career, right? And so that's the kind of definition we're using for the word work. And for the word works, it's individual actions, not necessarily your employment. It's not even necessarily related to your job. But it's, you know, what are some of the things that you're involved with? What are some of the things that you're doing that we would consider works? So, like, to make it more clear, it's like if I said Elijah, my son here, he does a lot of good, how do I want to say this? Elijah is known for the grace of God in his life because of the many good works that he does. Does that make it a little more understandable? So, I mean, there's things that we do because we are saved that they're called works, right? So there was one of my instructors at Bible College, Tony Cook. He on his website one time, he put out the question. He says, can any, because he's doing this work, doing this study on work and things like this, So he put out this question on his website. He says, anybody out there, if you could send me songs that you can think of that has to do with work, and it can be a negative connotation towards work, or it can be a positive connotation, but if you could just send me a list, you know, just songs that you know. And so there was a list of songs that came into him. And so we're going to go through some of those songs real quick, just some of the lyrics from each one of the songs. There's not very many, but I just want you, there is a lot, but I only picked a few just for this message. I didn't want to take all morning doing this, but let's look at some songs about work. The Beatles wrote a song, and one of the lines was "Working Like a Dog." I never listened to the Beatles, so I never heard that song, but, you know, apparently they got this song that says "Working Like a Dog." Johnny Paycheck describes his supervisor as a fool and another supervisor as a regular dog before he says, "Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more." Right? Now, you know, if you ever said that to your boss, just don't raise your hand on that one. Right? What about Dolly Parton? Dolly Parton, in her job, in her song, "Working 9 to 5, complains about barely getting by, being used, not receiving credit for work done, not receiving a deserved promotion, and feeling like the boss is out to get her. What are we talking about? These are the kind of songs in country and pop culture that have the world, the enemy, has used to shape the concept of work in the minds of people. He has been rather effective at making, especially this younger generation, feel like that work is a bad thing. And not only this younger generation, but even the generation I was raised in, that I, you know, he masterfully made work seem like a bad thing. But yet God, in the scriptures, work is described as a good thing from the very beginning to the very end. Right? Todd Rundgren. Rundgren, however you say that, in his song "Bang the Drum All Day," the first line of the song starts out with, "I don't want to work." Well, that's a positive message. Later in the song, the lyrics go like this: "Every day when I get home from work, I feel so frustrated the boss is a jerk. And I get my sticks and go out to the shed and I pound on the drum like it was the boss's head." That's not a good mindset, is it? That's horrible. You see what the enemy's doing? Tennessee Ernie Ford in the song 16 Tons. He says, "You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't call me because I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store." Isn't that crazy? One more here for you. It says, the Big Rock Candy Mountain song. It was a lighthearted country song, and it refers to a fantasy land for hobos that says, where they hung the jerk that invented work. Now, it's meant to be a lighthearted song, but can you see the mindset that listening to those and hearing those songs over and over and over, it puts the mindset in people's minds that work is a bad thing. But yet God says work is a good thing. Do you remember in the first six days of creation, God created all this. And at the end of each day, he says, "Behold, that is good." The work that he did, he says, that is good. Can we end our day? What about every day when we go to work? When we end our day and we're on our way home, can we think back on the work that we did today and go, "Yeah, that was good. Man, that was a good day's work." See, used to, that was a positive statement way back when, right? Man, that was good. That was just a good day's work today. But you don't hear too many people using those kind of lines anymore, right? George Carlin, a famous comedian, I think he's died now, but George Carlin, a famous comedian and social commentator, he said, "Most people work just hard enough to get fired." That would be a bad thing. Okay. And this idea is still kind of bad. But anyway, most people work just hard enough to not get fired and get paid just enough money to not quit. Most people work just hard enough to not have their boss fire them. And the boss pays them just enough to keep them from quitting. Can you see the negative mindset around work that the society and the world culture has painted for us? But did you understand that's the world's way of thinking? Go with me to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, and those who have been around here any length of time at all, there's probably heard me quote this scripture. It's definitely one of my favorites. But in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says this: don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Don't be conformed to this world's way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What if we take this verse and applied it to work and say, don't be conformed to this world's way of thinking about work, but that our minds would be transformed by renewing our minds to what the Word of God says. You guys know around here, we call this is we're a Bible church, man. We believe that we are a scriptural church. What does it require to be scriptural? Scriptures, right? That's a pretty deep thought, and you guys caught it real quick. That's pretty awesome. Hallelujah. All right, so I already loaded you down with some negative songs. Let me give you a couple of positive. And I say a couple of positive because there was a whole lot more negative songs that were posted than positive. Why? Because there's a whole lot more negative songs working in society than there are positive. In fact, you have to go to Disney World to finally get a positive message. And so I'm going to quote you a couple of lyrics from a very profound and deep group of young individuals about the positivity of work. These individuals are called the Seven Dwarfs. Right? The Seven Dwarfs said, whistle while you work. See, my wife gets onto me for whistling, but hey, man, I just whistle while I work. Why? Because I'm happy. Why? Because I enjoy working. Why? Because work is a good thing, right? It's a good thing. Here's another one they said, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. They didn't sound too depressed about going to work, right? How many know we don't have to be depressed going to work? Listen, when you begin to get the proper and correct image of what God meant work to be, you enjoy your work. You enjoy your work. Not that every day at the job is always an easy day. And I've always said it this way, and I heard recently a dear friend of ours that passed on to go on the Lord, he kind of said the similar thing, so I was really blessed by hearing that. But this is what I've always said. I say it around the bus garage. I say it around the different people who ask me, hey, Ken, how's your day going? Man, it's an awesome day. Every day's a good day. Some days are just more challenging than others. But do you think I'm going to let a challenge in my day to tell me that my day is a bad day? No, why? Because the Bible says this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't have to let my work define how my day is going to be. It may be a challenge. It's like, okay, all right, well, we're going to work through this. But you know what? I'm having a good day nonetheless. The devil is a liar. I'm not giving him that kind of authority in my life. And neither should you, right? Mick Jagger. Come on, Mick Jagger. Big lips, Mick Jagger, right? Come on. He wrote a song. Here's a song that he sang called Let's Work, where he denounces laziness and the attitude of entitlement. He says this, let's work, be proud, stand tall, touch the clouds. Men and women, be free, let's work, kill poverty. Right. Hey, we got a positive one. Right? I'm not telling you to go out and buy all of his albums, but I'm telling you that particular song, that particular song was a good one for our society to hear. You know, I don't know that it was a super popular song with society, but it was a good song nonetheless. Right? The Bible has plenty to say about our work and about our works. But let me tell you what I'm not saying. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Let me tell you, sometimes it's good to know what I'm not saying. That gives a good definition to what I am saying. But let's look at what I'm not saying. Over in Ephesians and chapter 2 and verse 8, it says this, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. How many know a gift can't be bought? Amen. It can't be earned, right? When I give gifts to my son, it's not because of anything he's done to earn it. It's because I love him and I want relationship with him, so I give him gifts. I don't buy my wife gifts because she earned them. lest they would not be a gift. Right? Listen to this. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, and none of us can boast about it. Right? So what I'm not saying is that we have to work to earn salvation. We don't have to work. We don't have to do good things. There are religions in the world that believe that you are saved by your many works. But that is not even scriptural. But let me tell you something. We are not saved by our works, but we work because of our salvation. Right? We're not saved by works, but our salvation should produce good works. Right? So what I'm not saying is, I'm not saying that we got to do work so we can earn something from God. No, you know, everything God has provided through the cross, healing is not something that we have to work for. Peace is not something we have to work for. Salvation is not something we have to work for. There are things that came through that is involved in the grace of Jesus Christ that he gave us by grace and provided for us by grace, because it's not something that we could get in and of ourselves. But just because we've been saved and just because our salvation is not based on works does not mean we don't have a work to do. Right? So, but here's the deal. Work is not a word that many Christians like to hear. Right? Christians like, they love these biblical words like grace and free gift and rest. We love talking about the rest of God. We like talking about the free gift. We like talking about puppies and babies, right? Now listen, we like grace. We like free gift. We like rest. And we like talking about that we're the righteousness of God, and that God has delivered us from this, and God has healed us from that, and God has set us free. But did you know the Bible, nowhere does the Bible say that God sets you free from doing work. Right? The grace of God does not make our work irrelevant, but it enables us to do works that are beneficial to others and to please God. Right? So the work that we work to be, you know, the Bible, remember Genesis chapter 12 and verse 4, it says that God blessed us to be a blessing. That we are blessed. I think it's verse 4. Anyway, it says that we are blessed. When he told Moses, I am blessing you so that you can be a blessing. But yet we spend, as a Christian community, if we're not careful, we spend most of our time believing God. We're using our faith. And faith is good to be used, right? We need to use our faith. But we got to be careful that we're not using our faith just to get stuff for ourselves. Right? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Sometimes you ask, you do not have because you ask with the wrong heart motivation. Right? So God has a work for us to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 in the New King James, it says this: for we are God's fellow workers. We are God's fellow workers. God has called us to work together with him. In fact, in the King James Version of 1 Corinthians 3:9, King James Version, it says that we are laborers together with God. Right? So God wants to move through you in your work. Right? We shouldn't have the mindset where we don't like work. We need to start getting the proper mindset with our work. That our work is there. I am being a blessing. Yeah, I may be getting paid, but I'm being a blessing. I want to do a job that's going to be a blessing, as much of a blessing as it can be to somebody else. Right? That's what God did. Did you notice God didn't create the 6 days of creation? He didn't do that just for him. He did that for us. He created such a... He had a wonderful place to live. He didn't need what he created in creation for himself. But he did need it for you, and he needed it for me. And so God does all these things for us. He blesses us. God, how many know God is still working on your behalf? Still working on your behalf. That is so awesome. So let me ask you this. What is the Holy Spirit showing us today? The Holy Spirit is showing us that our work is an expression of our salvation. That our work is an expression of our salvation. I tell you what, man, when people... when people, you know, have people working on their jobs, this is my ambition right here. You ready for this? My ambition. My ambition is for us to get such a good grip on this work concept that God desired for us to work. God designed us to work. I want us to get such a grip on this concept that we, the people of the Difference Church, have a reputation of producing good workers. People are looking for job. They're like, hey, go down to that Difference Church and see if anybody's looking for a job, because I know that good workers come from there. Come on. I remember when I was in Bible college, that was the attitude that our Bible college had. And I tell you what, if somebody worked for them and they were a Bible school student and they worked for a company and they were kind of being flaky and not doing what they're supposed to do, you know what that manager did? He called up the dean of Rhema Bible College. Said, hey, this student of yours, this is kind of what's going on. You know what happened next? That student was called into the dean's office going, what are you doing? You know better. We train you better than this. What are you doing having that kind of attitude? What are you doing, them catching you back in the back room, taking a nap because you're not doing your job? And just to answer your question, no, that student was not me. I'm just saying. Just letting you know. So what else is the Holy Spirit showing us today? He's showing us that God wants us to show mercy to others through our work. Now, how many know God is a God of mercy? Right? God shows reveals his mercy to us. He says his mercies are new every morning. So we're not saying let's get rid of that and let's get this other part. No, we can have both. We can be people that have been shown mercy, but we also need to be people that show mercy. And we do that through our good works, right? Loving other people, serving other people. And also the Holy Spirit showing us that God has called us to be a blessing to others with our work. So God wants us to be good workers, right? Nehemiah, under Nehemiah's leadership, I mean, you know, Nehemiah was the one that kind of led the rebuilding of Jerusalem's wall. And under his leadership, they completed this wall in like record time. In fact, they completed this wall in 52 days. And they didn't have the technology and the equipment that we've got today. And they completed this wall in 52 days. So that makes you ask, how were they able to complete this wall in 52 days? And in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, it says this. Let me just get over there myself. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6 in the New Living, it says this. At last the wall was completed to half its height. And this right here, they only had half the job done. They weren't even finished at this point. But it says right here, after, and if you read the first few verses, you can see how everything was thrown against them. And people, the enemies were attacking, all these kind of things. But it says, at last the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city. Why? For the people had worked with enthusiasm. Let me ask you a question. This is a rhetorical question, so I'm not asking you to answer it. But let me ask you this question. Do you go to work with enthusiasm? Do you go to work with the mindset that I'm going to be a blessing to somebody today? Man, I'm going to do such good work today that it's just going to be a blessing to my employer. Oh, you just don't understand, PK. You don't understand how he treats me, what he says to me. You don't say, you don't understand how it's been. And you don't, I'm not asking to understand all that. I'm telling you what the Word says. The Word says that we are to go to work and be a blessing to our employers. Amen? Amen. How many are super excited about this message already? All right, let's look at that same verse in New King James. And it says this. It says, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height. Listen to this. For the people had a mind to work. For people, how many know these are not messages? This is not the kind of messages really, you don't really hear about this kind of message too often these days. We're too busy preaching on the blessing of the Lord. We're too busy preaching on healing. And all these things are wonderful. You know, you guys know, we teach on that. We believe that. It's the Word of God. And thank God for it. Become, what about when it comes to, you know, our work, the kind of work that God wants us to do, the kind of representatives he wants us to be. You know, the Bible says that we are to represent Jesus. And how many know that also means in our jobs, in our work, and in the things that we do? Listen, represent Jesus. Let's break that word down. He wants us to re-present Jesus. Did you know Jesus worked? The Bible says he was a carpenter. son of a carpenter and a carpenter, right? What about the Apostle Paul? He was a tent maker. I believe God put those things in the Bible so we would know that work is good. The Bible says a man don't work, don't eat. I don't know about you. That would motivate me to work. Me personally, I kind of like to eat, right? Especially when Charles is cooking, right? You still owe me some food, brother. All right. Charles is a friend of mine from the Brush Garage. And so anyway, but he says here that they had a mind to work. They had a mind to work. How many know it's important for us to have a mind to work? How many are excited about this series? How many are going to come and listen to it, whether you're excited about it or not? You know, my spiritual father always said, get excited about the word, guys, because it's when you're excited about it that the word works for you. Come on, God never meant for us to go to work in the muddy grubs. He never meant for us to go to work depressed or just frustrated and mad at the boss. Man, don't let your first moment before you even clock in be because I'm mad at the boss. No, we don't want to come home and beat drums and wish we were and pretend like we're beating our boss's head, right? We don't want to be part of those kind of songs. We don't want to be part of those lyrics. We want to be hi-ho, off to work I go. Amen. Glory to God. Let me give you one more statement, then we'll wrap it up. To hear Jesus say, well done, we must be sure that we are doing some things well. Think about that. How many want to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? How many know if you haven't done things well, he can't tell you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Right? I don't want Jesus to say, you know, I would have said well done, but you're lazy. You're slothful. You sleep too much. You do this. I want when I see Jesus face to face, I want him to go, well done, my good and faithful servant. You are faithful to do the work that I gave you to do. Did you know every work that we're given is not always super spiritual work? Now my job involves, you know, a lot of spiritual stuff, but I also work a secular job, right? And I don't go in with a bad attitude, and I don't leave with a bad attitude. And I have some crazy little hooligan kids sometimes, and Charles knows what I'm talking about. They can be difficult, right? That's why when I step on that bus, Father, I thank you for your grace today. I'm walking along, checking my seats. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over this. Thank you for your anointing on these seats, Lord, that when those kids sit down, that your anointing just shoots up in them and they are amazing good students. Right? No, there are some students that we have that are challenging, but I'm telling you, God's grace is sufficient, and we can go to work with a good attitude, we can work with a good attitude, and we can go home with a good attitude. We don't have to go home and treat our wives, or if you're a wife, you go to and treat your husband like they're the local garbage can for all the stuff you went through that day. And all the wives said, and all the husbands said, that's a little amen, praise God, right? Hey, we're going to have a good time in this series. It's going to be good, right? Next week, we're going to be talking about the work that God did, the work that Jesus did. Come on. God, he created us to be good workers. And here's the thing. You don't have to be unhappy in your work. What happens on your job does not define your work. Your attitude on the job is what defines your work. You guys have heard it said, your attitude determines your altitude. It determines how high you're going to fly. If you've got a negative attitude, you're not even going to get the plane off the ground very far, right? If at all. But if you have the right attitude, no matter what's going on, no matter what's being said, no matter what's being done, you go and you do your job to the best ability that God is helping you to get your job done. You keep the right attitude, and I'm telling you, that's the kind of stuff that leads to promotion. That's the kind of stuff that leads to advancement, right? But we're not going to do this the world's way, are we? We're going to do this God's way. And his word has a lot to say about it. So I'm looking forward to getting into that. Did you guys get anything out of this today? Yeah. Go ahead and stand up on your feet. Hallelujah.